Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Love God. Without love, spiritual progress is like walking with crutches. It is slow work and hard work indeed. One of the most beautiful and oft quoted definitions of God is quite simply, God is love. And St. Paul in the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. And everywhere that you look in spiritual writing, the love of God for us and our love for God is always presented as the most powerful, overwhelming, transformative energy that we can release in any way. There's a story told about Paramahansa Yogananda that this devotee, or this man who was, you might call him a student more accurately, who came to Yogananda, and he had a whole series of very intellectual questions and, you know, breaking down different aspects of the spiritual path with wanting precise definitions and considering this and weighing this against that, as people like to do, some people like to do. And so he came to the master and had a whole series of questions. And so he asked his first question, and Yogananda said to him, love God. And that was the only answer he got. So he was a little disconcerted. This is a true story. And he went to his next question, and it was all carefully worked out, and he asked, you know, exactly what the question, what he wanted to say. And once again, the master said, love God. And then the intellectual man asked the third question, and master stood up and said, love God, and then walked out of the room. And that was the only answer that he ever got. Because if the man was sincere about actual spiritual progress, instead of just intellectual study of spiritual subjects, master was going to tell him what he really needed to do, which is, you say, and perhaps master read into his heart that this man's aspiration needed a little jolt. If you're really interested in growing closer to God, you have to start with the heart. You can't just get it all sorted out in your mind and then somehow have every little intellectual thing set up and then think that your heart's automatically going to open. So on the spiritual path, the first requirement, well, actually Swami says the first requirement is courage. But what comes after that is devotion. Because courage is required to love like that. You know, as soon as we really commit ourselves to love in any context, whether we're loving God, whether we're loving our work, whether we're loving another person, you know, there has to be a certain courage in that commitment, because love is not a passive force. And once we allow it in any way to begin to define who we are, its power to help us spiritually is because it compels action. And it makes certain kinds of other actions impossible. I mean, the best way to think about understanding the divine romance, since only some people have actual experience of the divine, but almost everyone has some experience, either disappointing or fulfilling, of human love. For our parents, for our children, even for our pets, for the creative work that we do, for a romantic partner. And once we open ourselves to that love, it really begins to define us, doesn't it? My father used to joke, because he used to like to joke about things. He would often sort of make jokes about things that were not entirely jokes. But there were three children in the family. We're a few years apart in age. I'm the middle child. There was my older brother, myself, and my younger sister. So my my older brother would have been 9. I was sort of in the middle, and then my sister was born. And we were born, I guess my sister was born about 1950. I was 1947. So it was an era, it was before gender roles began to blend, when gender roles were quite different. So when my father brought my mother home from the hospital, with the two kids were in the back seat of the car, my brother and I were in the back seat of the car. My father opens the door for my mother, who's holding my baby sister, and helps her in the car and settles her in. It's strange. Perhaps I've heard my father tell this story, but I feel like I can see this. I can sort of see her coming into the car, but I would have been 4 years old. That seems like awfully young to have this memory. I said the dates of my sister's birth wrong. She was a little later than that. But my father talked about getting my mother in the car. So there's his wife and his three children in the car. Then he has to walk around the back of the car and get in the driver's seat. And he talks about just that moment when he was sort of rounding the back trunk of the car. Did he turn and get back in the car, or did he just hightail it off in the other direction? Because there it was. And in those days, and in my family, he was the sole breadwinner. He was completely responsible. And now there were three children plus his wife that he had to take care of. Now my father, God bless him, was very honorable and hardworking and did a wonderful job taking care of the family. But love has a tremendous power over us. And of course, he wasn't going to leave because he was very devoted to my mother. 56 years of really devoted, a very, very lovely example of marriage. They were beautiful together. So he couldn't have left. And that's what happens to us, you see. And many times people who consider themselves above it, we're not really above it, we're afraid of it. And we're afraid of it for good reason. Because once you become open like that, you're not in command of yourself. Now, when we give our love to other human beings, when we give our love to projects, you know, when we give our love to a physical place, you know, in California in the year 2020 where I live now, there have been a lot of wildfires, and there have been over the years. And I live near San Francisco. I live in south of San Francisco, but north of San Francisco, there's a lot of these beautiful vineyards up in Napa County. I mean, to commit yourself to a vineyard, you know, you have to grow the plants for many years. It's a huge project, of course. And then some of these wildfires have come in and just completely burned to the ground. I mean, a lifetime, even generations of work, just wiped out in a matter of hours. I mean, even as I say it, every time I hear about one of those, my heart just breaks for those people. You know, all that love put into it. Now, the problem is, everything about the material world ultimately is going to change, and everything about it is unreliable. Even the best people in the world, you know, they have noble character, they mean well, but we can't always see our own karma. You know, we can't see that traumatic brain injury that's just around the corner. We can't see that debilitating autoimmune disease that's going to change us. We can't see early onset dementia. We can't see some incredible temptation that we never thought we would succumb to, but we do. So we can be as sincere and as well-intentioned as possible, but many, 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 many things can happen. So once we open ourselves to love like that, when what we love is not eternal, if it's the land that we've cultivated all these years, or maybe we lose it to bankruptcy because of some thing that happens, the heart can also break. However, there is one reliable reality in the world, and that is the infinite, ever unchanging, eternal presence of God within us, all around us, defining all of creation. It's a little harder to see. And for some people, it's a little harder to believe in. The path of self-realization has, well, this is how I would put it. When Yogananda first came to America from India, he wrote a book. Actually, he had a disciple write it for him because his mastery of English wasn't sufficient. He didn't feel to write it himself. But it was all, he gave him the ideas, and it was ghostwritten, so to speak. And he called the book The Science of Religion. And of course, it was a deliberate use of two words that many people thought were mutually exclusive. Religion, how can religion be scientific? Scientific is objective, it's proved by experiment, the experiments can be replicated, and religion is, quote, just a matter of belief. But Yogananda wanted to tell the Western world that actually religion is a science. It's just that in Christianity at this time, much of the science of it is no longer known. One of the things that Yogananda came to America to show is that the original teachings of Jesus and the original teachings of Krishna and the principles of yoga, not hatha yoga, but yoga meaning the union of the soul with God, are taught and are the same in both. Just a simple thing from the Bible, if thine eyes be single, thy whole body will be full of light. Incomprehensible to many Western theologians, self-evident to anyone who practices yoga. The two eyes look out on the material world in which everything is dual and everything is changing. The single eye is the sixth chakra at the point between the eyebrows. And when we meditate, we close the physical eyes, we concentrate on the single eye of spirit, and this great light is exposed to us there, is revealed to us there. You don't have to be of any theological persuasion. If you do that experiment in the right way, you will see that light. People of all religions see it. And that light has a particular form, actually, which is a circle of gold, a golden circle, an indigo dark blue field, and a white point of light, which is shaped like a star in the center. And interestingly, if you go to St. Peter's, the Vatican in Rome, and you go into the main cathedral there, and you go and stand at this huge platform, it has a certain name, which is in the center of the church where they have their ceremonies, and you look up at the inner ceiling of that, it's a huge gold ring with an indigo field and a white, and they make it look like a dove, but it's a five-pointed dove, head, two wings, and the tail. And in India, it's a five-pointed star. Someone saw it. In many spiritual places in the West, Christian-oriented, you will see the golden ring, the indigo field, and the white point in the middle, because it's just there. And so what Yogananda brought was the science of how we experience the presence of God. And part of that science is that we have to open our hearts. It's not just a question of getting the theological definition straight and knowing who said what to whom and which translation of the Bible has the exact words and this thing and that thing. All of that is, well, it's a nice hobby. And it's interesting, and you can learn certain things, but in the end you will have nothing unless you have opened your heart to that which you are studying, which is the life of Christ in that case, or the life of Krishna, or the impersonal reality of infinite light. The Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's how the book of Genesis starts, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, which the yogis describe as the sound of Om. What is Word? Word is vibration as sound. And St. John was making a very esoteric reference because he loved Jesus, and therefore he experienced his presence. So it's just a question of, do we want to study or do we want to experience? Do we want to read books about marriage? Do we want to read books about being a great artist? Do we want to read books about raising a family? Or do we want to love someone? Do we want to have children that we can care for? Do we want to get into the creative flow and make beautiful paintings or beautiful music. But once we step into that flow, even into the flow of loving God, it will take us where it wants to take us. God is absolutely trustworthy. He will not always meet our preferences, but the divine will always fulfill our needs. That's why it takes courage. And then once we have the courage, what is needed is love. Swami says, love God. Without love, spiritual progress is like walking with crutches. It is slow work and hard work indeed.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings and thank you.